Let everyone prove his own work. Therefore, whilst we have time, let us work good to all men, but especially to those who are of the household of the faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Sunday of Labor Day weekend. Less for us a holiday of labor than summer's end and a day off, a holiday from labor. But there is some work which never takes a holiday. How good are you at sticking with it? Tomorrow, the votive mass of St. Joseph, he's patron of everyone who works. Every holiday, the word comes, of course, from holy day. You just change the Y to an I. Even our civil ones, Memorial Day or Independence Day, every holiday offers not only some seemingly obligatory celebration, usually centered about something to eat, cookouts or something, but also a time, a space, if you use it, as on Sunday, not only for rest and to be with family and friends, but to reflect a little and to learn perhaps a lot about the meaning of those words in our American vocabulary, which perhaps need to be relearned: liberty and labor and wars. And most of all, it is meant to give us a holiday with its rest, a time for some spiritual refreshment, prayer. We used to have a good group, you know, that would come to our special holiday masses. Understood you need an excuse to get to church during the week, their weekdays, but this is a great one. That is to say, to pray for our country and to use the opportunity for just a little quiet prayer in an otherwise civil, secular observance. Separation of church and state, unless the former shore up and inform the latter, why our house is built on sand. What God hath put together, let not man put asunder. I hope some of you will come to the holiday mass for good Saint Joseph. Hardly anyone comes anymore to these masses. But in case you don't, today's epistle directs us already towards tomorrow's holiday theme, labor, work. Let's hear from a saint who never took any time off from her life's labor, which was that of love, and who never, from the age of 3, recalls having once denied God anything. And she is Saint Teresa. Now, as holidays go, how are yours? Or your average Sunday for that purpose. Once the saint's sister, Celine, mentioned to her that due to some unforeseen duties, she didn't get very much rest. And Saint Teresa answered, "My Sundays and feast days are days when I have greater trials." Her free time was used up for others. There was always some poem someone wanted written for an occasion, some artwork or sewing that needed to be done. She never took a holiday, in any case, from her life's work. She was haunted by the hidden holy face of Jesus. She always walked in God's presence, so that even when she was so weak she couldn't walk anymore, she did what she could. She loved. When I was in high school, I visited the Trappist monastery in Gethsemane way back in 1968, and I remember the old abbot Father James Fox said to me, but it was his motto, and it was also hers, all for Jesus, all through Mary, always with a smile, all for God, and nothing for Teresa. That's scary, isn't it? This was her mission statement. If you want to use the trendy term, this was her goal and her guiding star. And that smile, enigmatic to be sure, rather Mona Lisa-like, I imagine. The nuns, you know, used to scourge themselves on certain days as an act of penance. It was called taking the discipline. It was not meant to be done to blood, but if you did it right, it did sting. Well, she forced herself to smile whenever she scourged herself, so she said, so that God would not see how it hurt me. And she called this being tactful with God. She explained, He loves us so much, the good God, if He sends some sorrow, it's for our own good, but still, we don't want to let Him know how much it hurts us, so the least we can do is to shoulder our cross with a smile. That smile on her face concealed everything of her life's work and God's work in her. It concealed her struggles and her solitude and her sleeplessness. Any slight attention she might have been tempted to draw to herself. You know, that seeking after sympathy or gratitude from others, any hint of heroism, those are the things that make suffering sometimes acceptable to us, but not for her. Everything was hidden with the Holy Face under this veil of the commonplace and the ordinary. Her smile, in the relentless labor of loving God and giving everything for Him. This is one of the pictures of Saint Teresa that I think it's worth keeping on your cell phone and scroll down to it from time to time. And the other, I've been thinking about a lot for months now. The other, after that of the smile, is the picture of St. Teresa on the stairs, seated on the stairs. Her last years in the convent, Teresa lived up a little flight of stairs on the landing, where there were two or three other sisters or nuns' cells. And with the onset of tuberculosis, she was often so weak at the end of the day that when everything was finished and she was going back to her room for rest, she would have to stop at each step, there were four or five, to catch her breath. And sometimes she actually had to sit down for each one for a moment, and she never told anyone. She gave. She gave. She gives. She gives still today, and she gives herself no rest in the matter. No days off, no holidays for the little flower, not even in the Requiem Aeternam of eternity, the everlasting rest of heaven. I, she promises, will spend my heaven doing good upon earth. These pictures, they could be photos on your iPad or something. And it is certainly true that the Martin sisters love the new technology of photography. But these pictures intrigue me because of the paradox they propose. Here you have a young woman practicing entire self-control, resting only for breath itself before climbing higher and making it seem so simple under her smile that even the sisters in the convent had no idea what was going on in the way of her sanctity. But a pope did. St. Pius X called her greatest saint of modern times. That life's work of hers seemed like the path of childhood, as easy as a smile. But little children don't always have it easy, do they? No. They're not known for this, willingly suffering, giving up their will, that sort of thing. But they are known, the little ones, for their will power. It can be fierce and strong at times. Well, she harnessed that, you see, under grace and under a simple smile in order to give. Now, here is what children do well, to give generously to God without calculating the change she had coming back to her, without counting, looking for salary or recompense or payment. In her work, in her life, St. Teresa was never rushed, but she was always purposeful. She was not one, though, to pace herself and take it easy. Remember, she once reproached that young training sister, a novice, who was sort of sauntering along the hallway on her way to work assignment. Is that how you walk when you have children to feed? She said. The last time she went for one, for a walk, she was so exhausted she couldn't go on, but she did. She made the immense effort to walk on, and she said, this would be for some poor missionary in a distant land. That's what I mean. All day long, everything, no rest, everything offered up, everything for some good and loving purpose. Thus, see Teresa at work. Every task was done. Her life was lived without haste, yet without carelessness, and no self-indulgence. Towards the very end, just before she died, she wondered with one of her sisters one night when she lay awake in the infirmary. She wondered about all of the rules in the convent that they broke so easily, and all the times they spoke when they shouldn't, and all the work they considered good enough. She wondered what answer would be given to God for that. She did her work to the very last and perfectly, simply because love gives everything. Her love for God obliged her to this and to overcome herself. So that's what I mean. She never let down her guard, but still at the same time, not with trust for herself, not building up treasures, no. She gave it all away to our Lord. This is the work policy of her little way of childhood and hidden beneath a smile. You'd almost think, unless you tried it yourself, that it's just much ado about nothing. Now, a priest friend of hers summarized for us the three steps of her spirituality of work. The first, remain little, practice humility. Silence here is important as much as smiles. And then secondly, frequently perform easy mortifications, little sacrifices. She called that scattering flowers. But her easy sacrifices for us, they would seem immense. A rose bush full of thorns. They would exhaust us. Thirdly, trust in God. Practice that holy surrender. Today, Sunday, is a day of rest for us, as every week. Tomorrow comes the holiday. What will you be doing? You will be working still, won't you? Or if you do sit for a moment, surely it will be only for this, catch your breath on the stairs before getting up again with effort and climbing higher. Let us work, St. Paul says today. Let us work good to all men, but especially to the household of the faith. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.